just want to read one verse again. It's again, it's in the epistle of Paul to the Romans, this time in chapter 6. And I think by the time we finish, God willing, we'll understand that there is a very clear connection between the two verses, the verse that George has just read to us in Romans 10.
Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
And at the end of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, a very simple choice that is set before us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Read it again. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that God will bless the reading of this word. You know, just thinking of what we've been reminded of in Romans chapter 10. Really, you know, there's an obvious question, isn't there? It's all very well saying, well, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But the question comes, what does it really mean to be saved? Why do I need to be saved? It's all very well saying, well, yes, we need to be saved. We need righteousness. What does righteousness mean? As we go through the book of the Romans, it will tell us very clearly exactly what this is all about. In the first three chapters, or the first 2.5 chapters of Romans, we have a very black picture painted. And God brings to us two very clear points. Number one, every one of us is a sinner in the sight of God. And number two, there is nothing we can do about it and no excuse that we can make for it. Very black picture. And that really is what the first part of this verse that we read is all about. For the wages of sin is death. Every one of us is in the grip of sin. Every one of us does things that are wrong. Where are we today? The 3rd of January. I wonder how many made New Year's resolutions. I wonder if you made a New Year's resolution just under 3 days into the new year. Have you kept it? Things that you thought that you needed to change. Things that you knew that were wrong and you wanted to do something about it. And you find you can't do it. I remember perhaps now 25, 30, probably 30 years ago now, working with someone. And he was in the grip of tobacco. He smoked day after day after day. And he decided he was going to deal with it, he was going to stop smoking. He made his New Year's resolution, and the first year it lasted for 5 or 6 months. He was nearly halfway through the year before he took a cigarette. So when it came to the next year, he said, well, I've got nearly six months last year. This year I'm going to get there. He made that resolution for the second time. He didn't even last the 1st of January. He found himself before the night was out of the 1st of January in a situation where he found he had to have a cigarette. And it might be cigarettes. It may be other things. There are many things in our lives that we know are wrong. I doubt whether there is anybody in this place, in this hall tonight, who will look back at the end of the day and say, well, you know, there's not anything that I ever did or thought about today that I was entirely happy with. I was unhappy with. Because the working of sin is such that every one of us fails regularly. Sometimes it might be big things. Sometimes our failure might be catastrophic and we really feel we've made a fool of ourselves. Sometimes perhaps it's just little things. Perhaps even just a wrong thought that's gone through our mind. And it's been squashed before we've actually put it into action, but in the sight of God, it's still a sin. You know, the Bible tells us that the thought of foolishness is sin. Just to think something that is foolish is a sin. When you come to that standard, how can we compare? And you see, the verse we have read is in a section where God's love is telling us that really the picture is that sin is like a slave master. Back in those days, we would have slaves. I mean, it's what? Just over 200 years ago, three years ago, we were celebrating 200 years from the time that slavery was abolished in this country. And this was perhaps one of the first countries in the world to abolish slavery. It's something that was present and was understood. And perhaps some of you, perhaps most of you, will remember reading and hearing about what it was like to be a slave back in those days. But you see, what the Bible is telling us is every one of us is a slave of sin. The slave had to do exactly what his master said. The slave was expected just to do what he was told without question. Not perhaps quite the same picture, but as I say this, I'm reminded of the poem regarding the incident in English history, The Charge of the Light Brigade. And there was this brigade of soldiers in the Crimean War. And they were commanded by their commanding officer to go down against the guns of the enemy army. And anybody looking at that situation knew that whole company was going to be destroyed. Utter folly, but the officer commanded it. And in the words of the poem, as far as the soldiers were concerned, ours is but to do and die. And you might think, well, what folly? The verse we're reading today tells us that we're in exactly that position. We've got a master called sin that is in control of us from the moment we're born, and it's telling us just to go down on that path, to go straight down into the enemy's territory, into the place of death. The wages of sin is death. Our life is under the control of a power that is only interested in destroying us. Thank you. if I told you to walk out of here and to go and face soldiers ready with a firing squad. You, they said the moment you step outside that door, they're going to shoot live bullets at you. You sit here and you wait for them to be gone, and you never think of obeying that command. And yet, this world is full of men and women who are doing exactly that with their lives. They're going into the place of death. And God wants to warn us, and God is warning us tonight, that the path that we set out on from the moment we were born is a path that's leading to death, to judgment. Those hymns we sang earlier, they've reminded us of the possibility of this condemnation. But you know the answer tonight. And those hymns that we sang, really, they couldn't have been chosen better for what we have in this verse. The way of the cross leads us. There's an answer. There is an answer. Oh, praise God, what's the answer? Listen to the second verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you mean, Paul, when you say that? What do you mean the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Well, it starts at the end of that verse. We're given the picture. We're faced with the prospect that we're on a path and it's leading us straight into death, into judgment. Not just that these bodies are going to die and that's the end. But we are going to be separated from God forever. But the wonder of the message of the gospel is this, that when we were faced with that position, the Son of God came into this world as a man. And he came to stand in our place and to face the judgment that should have come to us. Think of our picture of the battlefield. And there's men. And they have to go and they have to face the enemy who's going to shoot them, who's got out to destroy them. And suddenly someone comes and he says, I'll go. I'll face the enemy. I'll take your place. You don't have to go, I'll do it. You know, that's just what God did for us by sending His Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world to become a man, to represent mankind at the cross. Yes, we were under the sentence of death and the judgment of God because of our sin. But the Lord Jesus took that judgment on Himself. He went into death so that we don't have to face that death. If you read the account of the crucifixion in Matthew chapter 27 or in Mark chapter 15, you'll read these words that the Lord Jesus said from the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you left me alone? He knew the answer. God's word tells us the answer. The alternative to the Lord Jesus being abandoned on that cross is that every person who has ever lived from the beginning of time right through to the end of time would have to be abandoned by God eternally. That was the only choice. The wages of sin is death. Complete, final separation from God forever. and long way back. But the Lord Jesus took her place. The Lord Jesus went out and suffered. Peter puts it this way in his epistle, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he puts it this way, who himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. All the judgment that should have come to us was laid on him. All God's hatred of sin was poured out on the Lord Jesus when he was there on the cross. The death that we deserve, he took. He could not be put to death without his agreement. There was nothing that anybody could do to take his life from him because he was completely free from sin. But he chose to go into death so that he could set us free. And if you think of slavery, perhaps, again, let's think of this picture of slavery we were thinking of earlier. The slave, the master had absolute control over the slave. You belong to me, you do what I say. The only way that bondage could be broken was by someone coming to pay to set the slave free. If the slave was going to be a free man, if the slave was going to escape from the bondage, someone had to pay the price that the master demanded. That price is death. And the Lord Jesus died on the cross to pay the price that our sin demanded. And so now what we have to tell is this glorious message that the price has been paid. Yes, we were the slaves of sin. And the wages of sin is death. We've got a master who wants to destroy us, and he's going to do everything he can to destroy us. And God says, I've paid the price. At the cross, the price of your sin has been paid. And now there's a choice. And this is the choice that George was bringing to us. You've got to choose which way you want to go. Are you going to stay as a slave of sin? Are you just going to go on in the life that you've been living? Go on the way you have done? Knowing that all that he's doing is building up the judgment of God, and that the day is coming when God is going to call you to account. Revelation chapter 20 tells us about that day. A day when God is going to open the books. Everything that you have ever done in your life will be called to account. Every word that you have ever spoken is on record. Every thought that has ever crossed your mind, everything is going to be called into judgment. And you'll stand there. And verse 19 of Romans chapter 3 tells us what will happen if you stand there in your sin. Every mouth will be stopped. And all the world will become guilty before God. Tonight God points you to the cross. And God says there's someone there who has paid the price. Someone who's taken the judgment. And so tonight you've got a choice. Tonight you can sit in your seat here and you can say, well, I'll wait for that day to come. And you can start to think about all the answers that you'll think that you could give to God. And God says it doesn't matter because when that day comes, every one of them will be answered and you won't be able to bring anything because the books will be opened and everything you think you can say to God will already have been answered. and you have nothing to say. Or you can look at the cross and you can say there's only one answer. What was the word we say at the start of the meeting proper tonight? There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul for unworthy might live. Someone was willing to take my place. Someone was willing to take the judgment that I deserve and look at the cross and bow the knee. I can't do anything about my sin. I can't break it. But the Lord Jesus did everything that God could ever ask. And you know, it's a tremendous message. Why? Because the moment you look at the cross, and the moment that you believe in your heart that God has answered your sin, three things happen. At least three things. But there's three very important things will happen. Number one, we've spoken about the record of God. Every failure in your life that is on that record is wiped clean. And when we say every failure, we're talking about a God who not only knows everything we've done in the past, but he knows everything we will ever do in the future. And God said, I'm going to just wipe out everything, every sin that is ever on record in your life, it's wiped out. To use the words that the Bible uses, John writes in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. That's why Christ died. Everything we've ever committed, everything we ever will commit, it's all been washed away. If we will recognize what Christ has done, the judgment of God will never come upon us, because God looks at the cross and God says, he paid the price. He died in your place. You never need to be judged. But number two, we've spoken of sin as a master. The power of sin over us is broken. Think of what we're saying about a slave. Here's the picture. Sin is a master. We have to do everything that sin said. But into that house has come someone else, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to the master, then he said, look, that's it, I paid the price to set this person free. And the moment you believe it, you walk out of that house and you are free. There's no condemnation. Now I am free. We say those words and you know that's what it means. Because Christ has died. And because he's risen again, we can be absolutely certain that sin's power over us has been broken. Hey, God has set us free, not just from the judgment that our sins deserve, but from the very power of sin in our life. And we get a whole new life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That old life, under the power of sin, has been broken. And you can just imagine, perhaps, a slave, and he had to do what the master said. And then someone comes in and says, look, now you're free, out you go. And you can imagine how joyful he was free. I can do what I like. Well, yes, except for one thing. When something like that happened, the person who set free will never forget what's been done for him. And he'll always be ready to do what is asked by the person who showed him such kindness. go back to Romans 10, verse 9. And sit with us and explain what it means. Here it is. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what does it mean? It means this. I say, I don't want to be the slave of sin anymore. I want Jesus as the Lord of my life. I don't want to do those things that God hates. I want to live for the pleasure and for the glory of God, because He has done so much for me. That's what it means to confess Jesus as Lord. And what does it mean to believe that God has raised Him from the dead? Well, someone says, well, how do you think you can do that? What gives you the right to think you can do that? Why? Because I know that the Lord Jesus died on the cross. And I know not only did He die on the cross, but He rose again. And every claim that sin could ever have on me has been broken. It can't ever make any demand of me again. Not because I can ever break it from its free remit, but because He has done it for me. He set me free. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that word eternal, that tells us the third aspect. And that emphasizes the third aspect. Because what God does is something He does forever. He saves us from the judgment. He saves us from the power of sin in our life. But He saves us for a home with Him in heaven forever. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus just before He went to the cross. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas said to him, how can we know the way? How can we be sure that this is the way? And I'm on that right way. The Lord Jesus said to Thomas, and He says to each one of us tonight, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Yes, there's a way. The wages of sin is there, but there's a way to escape the gift of God to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do we get it? You've got the choice. Am I going to be a slave of sin with nothing to look forward to but death and everlasting death? Or am I going to turn to the Lord Jesus, put my life in His hands, trust Him for His salvation, make Him Lord of my life, recognize what He has done for me, and know eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, not for anything either. Is the gift of God, something God gives by grace and saved through faith, the wonderful message of God, and the choice we have. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Shall we pray? Oh, gracious God, again tonight we just give thanks for the wonder that when we deserve nothing but death and judgment, there was someone willing to die in our place. Someone willing to take the judgment that we deserve, but not only willing, somebody who was able to do it. And we thank Thee tonight that at Thy right hand in heaven, there is a Saviour who's died in our place. There's a Saviour who's risen from the dead, and because He's alive, we can know with absolute certainty that we can be set free from sin, set free from judgment that we deserve, set free from the power of sin. We can have a home in heaven with the Saviour who died for us. We thank Thee tonight for such a message as we have to tell. We just pray it would please Thee, even at the beginning of another year, that it might be the beginning of a new life has come, as they turn and call on the Saviour and receive thy free salvation, we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.